Please find again the book of Ephesians, and we're looking today at chapter 5, verses 15 through 21. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 21. Sometimes children have a hard time distinguishing exactly what is being said or what is being sung in church. You know, there's a statement over in Luke chapter 2 in the account of the birth of the Lord Jesus that the shepherds were watching their flocks by night. And one little boy thought that he heard that they were washing their socks by night. Well, you see, he had a little trouble distinguishing what was actually said. We have a hymn that is a very good hymn, and we often sing it on Father's Day, and we sing it at other times too. And it has the title, Rise Up, O Men of God. But on one occasion, a dad and mom were standing with their little boy between them. And as the congregation was singing, Rise Up, O Men of God, he was singing, Wise Up, O Men of God. Well, today, I want to take my stand with that little boy. And the title of my sermon today is not Rise Up, O Men of God, it's Wise Up, O Men of God. And I'm drawing that thought from these verses that I read a while ago, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 21. And you see the word wise there, don't you? In verse 15, Paul says, See then you that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And down there in verse 17, he says, Therefore do not be unwise. So it is as if the Apostle Paul was saying there to the Ephesians, Wise up, wise up. And Christians need to be very wise in these days. And I hope that you men who are here for this Father's Day service will not object to me taking this your special day to urge you to be wise, but to also urge all Christians to be wise. I want to say to all of you today who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to wise up. Wise up. And so we're going to talk about this thing of wising up today. Now, the first thing I would say is wise up about your time in this world. Wise up about your time in this world. And notice what the Apostle Paul says there again in our passage. He says in verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wise up about your time in this world. Let's talk first of all about this world. This world is not a friend of grace. I think one of our hymns says that, doesn't it? It's not a friend of grace to help us on to God. This world is a hard place to live the Christian life. You don't have a lot of people in this world other than your own fellow believers who are urging you on and applauding you for living the Christian life. You don't have a lot of people who are doing that, do you? On the other hand, you find that right here in our own society, there is more and more animosity. There's more and more opposition to the things of God. Even to the point that we heard recently about a principal who said that the children in her school cannot sing God Bless the USA. Who would have ever thought a few years ago that we would have seen a day like this in the United States of America? But we are seeing it. And ladies and gentlemen, don't expect it to get any better anytime soon. It's going to get worse before it gets better. This world is not friendly to the things of God. It's not friendly to the people of God. This is a difficult, difficult world. And Paul clearly had that in mind when he wrote this passage of Scripture. He said, walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Walk circumspectly in this world. Walk carefully. That's what the word circumspectly means. Walk carefully. And it's almost as if Paul had a picture in mind as he wrote these words. And I suggest that the picture that he may very well have had in mind was of a man walking a very narrow and twisting path, and over here is a deep pit or a gully, and over here is another deep pit or a gully, and he must as it were, pick his way as he goes to keep from falling into a pit over here or falling into a pit over there. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, that's very much what it's like to be a Christian in this world. It's to have to pick our way as we go through this world. We have to walk carefully as we make our way through this world. Paul says, walk circumspectly. Now, we're dealing then with what it is to walk circumspectly in a dangerous and difficult world. Or, to change the word, to walk wisely in this difficult and dangerous world. And I've already given you the first thing here. Walk wisely in regard to your time. Use your time wisely in this world. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we all have an option with our time. We can spend it or we can use it. And I dare say that there are a lot of people, perhaps you're in this category today, of those who are simply spending their time. They're simply spending their time. There's a difference between spending time and using time. And Paul here is pleading for his readers to use their time wisely in this world. And so I'm saying to you men, but I'm saying to all of you, wise up about your time in this world. One thing that you should realize as you ponder your time in this world is that it's very fleeting. It's very brief. Oh, it's speeding by. You're not here all that long. My, how quickly life goes. And even if you are here for 90 or 100 years, my, how quickly those years fly by. And soon we're out in eternity. So I'm asking you, are you using your time wisely here on this earth? You're not going to be here all that long. You must use your time wisely. And you may be asking at this point, well, what does it mean to use time wisely on this earth? Well, I would say one thing it means is use your time here to find the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The title of the sermon is Wise Up, O Men of God. May I simply say that the first bit of wisdom that is needed is to become a man of God. To become a man of God. Wise up about your time here on this earth. Don't let this time pass, ladies and gentlemen, without coming to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Use your time here to find the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Because it's only as you find the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior that you're going to be prepared to enter safely into eternity. I know that's not popular these days. I guess I've been out of step so long now that it doesn't even bother me anymore. I know that we're living in days in which tolerance is hailed as the supreme virtue. And we're told that we must have such a spirit of tolerance that we dare not say there's only one way of salvation. Well, I respond to that by saying that those are not my words when I say that there's only one way of salvation. Those words come from the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. The Lord Jesus, we find Him saying over there in John chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then just so you could not possibly misunderstand what He was driving at, He added these words, no one comes to the Father but by Me. Now, I may not be the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I can understand that. Jesus Christ was claiming to be the only way to God. And I tell you, my friend, today, if you expect when this life is over, and it soon will be. It soon will be, even if you're young. Life will soon be over. And I say to you today on the authority of this book, when this life is over, you're going to be thrust out into eternity, and you must stand in the presence of this holy God. And the only way that you can stand there acceptably so that you are received into eternal glory is through faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You must repent of your sins. You must lay hold of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did on Calvary's cross for sinners. You must take it as yours, and you must make that your basis when you stand before God, or you will be driven from His presence into an eternity of misery and woe. So I say to you, wise up about your time in this world. And the first piece of wisdom is to embrace the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The first piece of wisdom is to make sure that you are a man of God or a woman of God. And you can only be that through the saving work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, do I have somebody here this morning who's not a Christian? Do I have somebody here who's not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ? Would you today, would you hear my plea and receive the Lord Jesus Christ while you have time and while you have opportunity? And it breaks my heart today to face the fact that there are so many right here in our own community. You may have them within your family. You may have them within your circle of friends who are just blindly rushing through life without giving any regard to their eternal destiny. What can I say to make you realize the importance of addressing your soul? What can I say to get you to see that you're soon going to be there in eternity? And the only safe way to stand before God is to stand on the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I urge you today, wise up about your time in this world. Don't pass unthinkingly through this life. Don't pass obliviously through this life without giving regard to your soul and without giving regard to your appointment with Almighty God. So, wise up. Wise up about your time in this world. Use your time in this world to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you're saying to me now, well, Pastor, I have done that. By the grace of God, I have embraced the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And He is my solid rock. He is my hope. I stand firm on what He did on the cross of Christ, on the cross of Calvary, as the only basis for which I can expect to meet God. And if that is your testimony today, if you're saying to me, yes, yes, I have received the Lord Jesus Christ, then I have an additional word for you. And that additional word is for you to use your time now to live for God. Use your time to live for God. And the sad fact is there are many in this day who have come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but they've allowed themselves to get indifferent and apathetic. They have allowed themselves to become so, so cold spiritually. I wonder if I'm talking about you today. I wonder if you are living as a Christian should live. Or I wonder if you have become careless about the things of God and you have drifted away and you have become cold toward the Lord and you've become careless about the commandments of the Lord. If I'm describing you, I'm telling you now, you're not living as a child of God ought to live and you're not using the time wisely that God has given you. Child of God, live for the Lord while you have time and opportunity. I've been a pastor now for a good number of years. I began pastoring at the age of 16, and I have pastored almost nonstop since that time. I've had a few breaks here and there along the way. And as a pastor, it has been my sad lot to many times minister to the dying. And I have been in many, we might say, at many deathbeds. I've been in many situations in which I've seen people go out into eternity. It's a solemn thing. And I've had people talk with me immediately before they passed away. I'm yet to hear someone say, Pastor, my great regret is that I live for the Lord. I wish I hadn't done so. Here I am now down to my last little time. And I wish that I had not lived as much as I did for the Lord. I have, on the other hand, had several people say to me, oh, Pastor, I'd give anything in this world if I could live my life over. And I will tell you now that if I could live my life over, I would live more for the Lord. I'd live less for myself, and I'd live more for the Lord. We close our Sunday evening services here each week by reminding ourselves of these lines. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. And so I say, wise up about your time in this world. If you're not a child of God, the most important thing for you to do with the time that you have is to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you have received the Lord Jesus Christ, the most important thing for you to do is to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Live for His honor. Live for His praise. You may be saying, well, what should I as a Christian be doing? Well, use your time on the Lord's Day to be in His house. Use your time at home to live as a Christian ought to live, speaking words of grace and living in a Christian manner. Use your time at work to show the difference that the Lord has made in your life. Wise up regarding your time in this world. Now, having said that, I want to come to yet another thing that the Apostle Paul emphasizes in this passage. We're standing with the little boy today who misheard the title of the song. He wasn't singing, "Rise up, O men of God." He was singing, "Wise up, O men of God." And we're taking our stand with him today. We're trying to wise up. I'm talking to you men, but I'm talking to all of you. And I've said, wise up about your time on this earth. But secondly, wise up about your understanding. Wise up about your understanding. And look at what the Apostle Paul says now, again in this fifth chapter of Ephesians. He says there in verse 17, "Do not be unwise, but understand." Don't be unwise, but understand. And what does he want his readers to understand? He wants them to understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, I will go so far as to say that men today, all across this land and country, have a good understanding of lots of things. And it may be that we have right here in this congregation today men who have good understanding of lots of things. And we could talk about automobiles, and you men could talk about, you would amaze us all, you would impress us all with your understanding. I remember saying back years ago, I would just preface this by saying I have my good friends Floyd and Lori and Zach Cairns here today from Benton, Illinois. And Floyd served there during my almost 20 years as pastor, as a deacon, and what a blessing this family has been to me. And you might know them better as Joni Stanley's family. And Floyd and Lori have been here before, and we welcome them back today. And as I talk about this, Floyd, it comes to my mind preaching at Emmanuel Church one time, and I was trying to drive home the point that you don't have to understand all the ways of the Lord to trust the Lord. And I said something about, I don't understand how my truck operates, but I trust it. I just get into my truck and I drive it. And I was trying to say, you don't have to understand all the things about God in order to trust the Lord. Well, one of the men came up to me after the service. And in fact, it was Brother Noble. And he came up to me and he said, "Now, Pastor," he said, "whenever you turn that key in the ignition, this is what happens, you know, and then this happens." And he proceeded to explain to me all of this business. I finally said to him, "Noble, I don't want to hear it. I don't care. I just want to drive my truck." And what a good friend he was. Well, he had a good understanding of that kind of thing. I could talk about, I could raise the issue of computers today. And, oh, some of you men, you could amaze me with your understanding of computers. No, I don't want you to. I just want to use my computer. I don't want to understand how it all works, you see. But do you understand the will of the Lord? Do you understand the will of the Lord? You can go through life understanding all kinds of things. But do you understand the will of the Lord? And this is in a completely different category, ladies and gentlemen. Because 1 John chapter 2 and verse 17 says, "He who does the will of God abides forever." Now, one of these days, this is going to shock some of you. One of these days, the computers are going to be gone and the automobiles are going to be gone. And I try to find, as I've already done today, ways to get people to be interested in going to heaven instead of going to hell. I think I have finally found the way. Let me put it like this. There'll be no texting in hell, but there will be in heaven. And I should think now, everybody would say, well, I want to go to heaven. How do I go? There'll be no texting in hell, but there will be in heaven. Now, do you want to go to heaven? I think everybody's going to say, well, yes, show me the way, Pastor. This has become an obsession. People are addicted to this thing of texting today. I won't share my frustrations about this. But here's what I'm saying to you, is the things that we understand so well today, and we're so proud of the fact that we understand these things, they're all going to be gone someday. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Now, do you understand the will of God? Well, may I simply say to you that one part of the will of God is what I have already laid before you. And this is not just one part of the will of God. This is the main part of the will of God. It is that you throw down the arms of your rebellion against God and you take as your own the plan of salvation that he has provided in and through Jesus Christ. That's doing the will of God. Doing the will of God. Jesus himself said, this is the work of God, or we could say the will of God, that you believe on him whom God has sent. And that was a reference to himself. He was talking about himself. This is the will of God. Are you wise in your understanding today? You understand all kinds of things. Good. Do you understand the will of God? Have you received Jesus Christ? The Apostle Peter says, God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But then, as I divided our thinking a while ago, whenever I was talking about understanding, using our time wisely in this world, I talked about unbelievers and what unbelievers need to do and what believers need to do. I want to make the same division now, and I want to say to you that if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you also need to understand the will of God. And you may be saying, well, Pastor, how do I understand the will of God? Oh, I want to tell you, my friends, it's right here laid out for you in this holy book. If you want to know the will of God, get your nose in this book. That's where you find the will of God. Don't depend on some kind of a sensational experience so that you can learn the will of God. Read this book. This is the will of God. And he who does the will of God, let me repeat it. He who does the will of God, John says, abides forever. But that brings us to yet a third thing. We're talking about wising up. Wise up about your time in this world. Use it wisely. Wise up about your understanding. You don't really understand as you ought. No matter how much you understand, you don't understand as you ought if you do not understand the will of God. And then finally, wise up about your filling. Wise up about your filling. Look again at your passage, Ephesians chapter 5. And down there in verse 18, Paul says, don't be drunk with wine, in which is excess or dissipation, but rather be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Now, we're all filled with something. And you can usually tell by being around someone for a while what fills his life, what fills him. And it may very well be that when you're around someone for a while and you listen to him talk, you come away saying, my, that person, he's just so filled with his family. You may say, he's so filled with his job. It's just everything to him. He's filled with it. I think that regarding men, especially today on this Father's Day, I fear that if we were around many men today for any length of time at all, we'd have to say, well, he's just filled with sports. He just lives for sports. That's what fills him. You can be filled with all kinds of things these days. I talked a while ago about computers. There are some men are just filled with technology. This is life to them. Just technology. Well, Paul would carry us here to a higher level. He says, be filled with the Spirit of God. And he contrasts this, and this is so helpful in our understanding of what Paul says. He contrasts it with being drunk. He says, don't be drunk with wine, in which is excess, but rather be filled with the Spirit. Now, what's true of a person who is drunk? Well, the drink affects his way of thinking. He can't think clearly. It affects his talking. He can't speak clearly. And it affects his walking. He can't walk steadily. He can't walk a straight line. I think it's very insightful on Paul's part to link this thing, to contrast this thing of being filled with the Spirit with being drunk. Just as drinking affects the way you think and the way you talk and the way you walk, so being filled with the Spirit affects the way you think, and it affects the way you talk, and it affects the way you walk or the way you behave as a Christian. And here's what Paul is saying. He says, wise up about your filling. Don't let these other things fill your lives. Let the Holy Spirit of God so fill your life that your thoughts and your talk and your behavior all manifest and demonstrate the control of the Holy Spirit of God. And this should be our filling, brothers and sisters in Christ. And what does this kind of filling produce? Being filled with the Spirit? I think the answer is pretty obvious as you look here at the passage. What does this kind of filling produce? Well, one thing it produces is praise. This is inevitable, isn't it? The Spirit of God is the Spirit of praise. And so if you're filled with the Spirit of God, look at what Paul says in verse 19. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Praise is going to hold a significant place in your life if you're filled with the Spirit of God, because He is a Spirit of praise. But also, if you're filled with the Spirit of God, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to hold a major place, the major place in your life, because we're talking about the Spirit of God, and He's also the Spirit of Christ. And so Paul says here in verse 20, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks to God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And oh, if you're filled with the Spirit of God, your mind will be much occupied with what the Lord Jesus Christ did on Calvary's cross for you. Your speech will reflect your praise for what the Lord Jesus Christ did for you. Your life will reflect the difference that has been made by Jesus Christ dying for you on the cross. And so if you're filled with the Spirit of God, you can't help but be filled with thanksgiving and praise and obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. So, gentlemen, here's a test for you today. Are you wise or are you foolish? And Paul would have you to be wise. God would have you to be wise. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit would have you to be wise. God would have you to wise up regarding your time on this earth. You're not here all that long. Use it wisely. God would have you to wise up about what you understand. Understand the will of God. God would have you to wise up about your filling. Don't be filled with these things that are passing away. Be filled with the Spirit of God. And God's people said,